Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter. It's such a joy to see you out on this beautiful, almost spring-like day. What a joy. We want to welcome Beth Coleman, who is substituting at the organ, and Cindy Steele. It's such a delight to have them both in church today. We invite you, if you bought Easter plants, to please take them after the service today, and any extras will be brought to Scandia Village to our shut-ins. Let us join our hearts in worshiping the Lord.
Our watchword for the week is found in Paul's letter to the Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Please stand for our opening hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, on page hymn 358, and then please remain standing for the liturgy on page 90.
Jesus Christ is risen today.
proclaim it to the ends of the earth.
The Lord has set his people free.
Given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading.
Praise, honor, glory, and power to the one seated on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever.
Jesus was handed over to death for our sins,
and was raised to life for our justification.
Then what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or hardship? Can persecution, hunger, nakedness, peril, or sword?
No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us.
For we are convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come,
nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, it is for the Lord that we live. And if we die, it is for the Lord that we die.
So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For Christ died, rose from death, and lives again in order to be Lord of the living and of the dead.
We do not want you to be in any doubt about those who have died, or grieve over them as others do, who have no hope.
For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died.
saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable.
What is sown is perishable,
is raised imperishable.
What is sown in dishonor
is raised in glory.
What is sown in weakness
is raised in power.
What is sown in physical body
is raised a spiritual body.
Then the saying that is written will be fulfilled: death has been swallowed up by victory.
Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Please stand. God, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of the earth.
For we have died, and our lives are hidden with Christ in God.
God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant,
make us complete in everything good, so that we may do your will, working among us all that is pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
And thanksgivings, especially for this day of resurrection. On this holy day, our sister Betty Overbeck entered the nearer presence of the Lord early this morning. And we want to remember her nephew BD and all her family as we mourn her loss but rejoice with her in her translation to our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for this day. We're so grateful for new life. We're so grateful that after a long, hard winter, spring has appeared. We're so grateful that you promise us new life each and every day. We are grateful for the life of Betty Overbeck. We're grateful for her testimony. And we're grateful that you brought her gently home this morning. And we ask that you would surround all who mourn, that you would be with BD and her son and all who mourn her presence. We ask that your grace would sustain us all. In Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Worship our Lord with the giving of our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
scripture lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are of earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Our second lesson is taken from the Gospel according to John. And this is very emotional for me. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings laying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw, and he believed, for yet they had not understood the scriptures, that he might rise from the dead. And then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Christ had been laying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said those things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In 1992, I had my first Easter morning service at a new church that I was pastoring. Before that, I was in the Bronx, and in the Bronx, the sun rose at 8 o'clock in the morning because nobody could get up earlier than that. So that's what I was used to. And so I asked in my new church, well, when do you have sunrise service? And they said, oh, it changes every year, because we actually time it to the sunrise. So if the sun rises at 5 o'clock in the morning, we come at 4:45. If it rises at 6, we come at 5:45. We always come 15 minutes before the sunrise, and then we watch the sunrise as we go out to, they didn't have a cemetery, so they go out to the church lawn. I thought this was barbaric. So my very first one, now this is before the age of the internet. This was before when you can look on your phone and see when the sun rises. They had to consult the Farmer's Almanac. And so that year my elders said, the sun is rising at 5:45 in the morning, which means we have to start church at 5:30. So I staggered into church at 5:30 in the morning, and as I'm walking in, people are saying, the Lord is risen. And of course, what do we say? The Lord is risen indeed. And I said, yeah, he might be, but I'm not. And so we start the service in the dark, and at 5:45 precisely, we came out to the church lawn, and the band was playing, but the sun hadn't risen. So they were gathered around the illuminated church sign, trying to read their music. So I conducted the rest of the service with my eyes squinting and also gathered around that sign because the sun hadn't risen. We walk inside to breakfast. The sun still was not up. And their breakfast, they proudly gave me a bun and coffee. Well, the next elders meeting, they were apologizing all over themselves because they forgot to factor in daylight savings time. And they said, this won't happen again, Pastor, we promise you. I said, no, it won't. Because I declared that the sun for Trinity Moravian Church came up at 6:30 in the morning every subsequent year. And besides that, if you were going to get me up, even at that ungodly hour, I wanted a full breakfast. So they obeyed, and we'd have a full breakfast. Now, this was when my husband was still in the military, and it seemed like as soon as he got home and started to attend regularly, they gave him the responsibility for that full breakfast. I was thinking about that very early morning when I read this passage of scripture about Mary getting to the tomb while it was still dark. And you can imagine that perhaps she had a little lamp, an oil lamp with her to show her the path. And she gets there and she finds that the tomb is vacated. And she rightfully assumed that the body had been stolen. Now I say rightfully because it was the only logical explanation. She had no understanding that there could be a resurrection, but she understood the cruelty of the Romans. She understood that they had horribly executed her Lord and Savior, and she knew that they had it in them to steal the body. That would have been very much in keeping with their cruelty. So of course, that's what she assumed, the body had been stolen. And when she looked in and saw the angels, of course she would not think that they were angels. She figured maybe they were part of the plot. It just says there were two men there. And so she says, you know, they've taken the Lord. And then later on in that story, she turns around and sees Jesus, but of course it's still dark. And so all she sees is an ordinary guy. She figures that's the gardener, and she asks him the same question in the dark. You've done something to Jesus. Just tell me where you've put his body. And the only way she understood that this was Jesus was after he called her name. And then it was like the eyes were open, and she knew that Jesus was standing in front of her. And I think that's a wonderful picture for us today, because so often when we're in the dark, whether it's our personal relationships or whether there's something terrible going on with us or we're experiencing that dark night of the soul, there are times that we just simply cannot see where God is. We see it when we turn on the news and the terrible wanton violence that comes into our living rooms every day, and we wonder where God is, and we don't hear that voice of God. But there is hope, because what Mary experienced was, even though she did not see Jesus, Jesus saw her. Jesus knew who she was, and Jesus called out to her. I think of a story from the 1950s. Martin Luther King Jr. was 27 years old. And at 27, he was already rising to prominence. He had conducted boycotts, and he was getting very famous. And you know how we talk about fame and fortune? Well, he had the fame, but none of the fortune, because death threats became the order of the day for this young pastor. And one day, very late at night, he received a phone call at his home. And on the other side of the line was a white supremacist who said, "I'm going to firebomb your home. I'm going to kill you." And he said at that moment, he was frightened so badly that he was trying to figure out a way to back away from this movement without seeming like a coward. And he prayed. He went to his kitchen in the dark and he prayed to God, and he said, "I'm at my wit's end. I don't have any courage left. I have nothing left. You've got to help me." And he said at that moment, the still small voice of God entered into his being and said to him, "You've got to take a stand. And you are my servant, and I will be with you." Now, you notice the voice of God did not say, "I'm going to erase all of these threats against you." The voice of God did not say that evil would not come against this man. The voice of God said, "I will be with you." And he said at that moment, all the fear left. And a few months later, his house was firebombed. And he said, "But I felt no fear." And for that next decade, he worked to pass the Civil Rights Act, to lay all the groundwork for racial equality. What would have happened that night if he hadn't prayed? God was in the darkness. God saw him. And that is the promise that we are given when we are in the darkness. God sees us. And God speaks to us even when we cannot see him. And what was so wonderful about this story is Mary was not judged because she could not see. There are times that life is so bitter, and God does not judge us for not hearing God's voice or seeing where God is. But God will continually reach out to his beloved children, of which you all are. Let us pray. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy freedom, gladness and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth's sorrows, into thy balm, out of life's storm, and into thy calm. Out of distress, to jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to thee. Lord, we come to thee out of the darkness into your light. We ask, O Lord, that the Easter message of life, the Easter message of light, the Easter message of hope would resonate with us from this time forward and until we see you face to face. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our closing hymn, number 792, I Serve a Risen Savior. We hope that after the church service that you will join us for some refreshments and fellowship. Let us sing together.
Oh,
arms, begin your week knowing that you are walking straight into the embrace of God. Amen. Please be seated.
flower cup.